I'm talking today with Dot Nelson Turnier, who is the candidate for State House Representative District 150 up in the Spring area. Dot, one of the first things that I noticed when I first heard about your campaign was that there hasn't been a Democratic candidate for State House District 150 since at least 1990. The Secretary of State's election archives only go back so far. What's it like? What is it like running as a Democrat in that district?
It's actually been terrific. People are really happy to see a Democrat running in the district. I think that it's been a long time coming. I think we've been avoiding running up there in that district. And when we tell people that we're Democrats, we're greeted very happily by people. They're surprised at first. We actually had one woman, we knocked on the door and asked if she was a Democrat or Republican, and she said, I'd rather not say. And then as we talked to her further, she said, she was a Democrat. But, sometimes it gets to such a point that people are afraid to identify as Democrats in these suburban areas. But I think we really need to be out there and about. But when we do block walking, we're finding 25 Democrats to 3 Republicans. And it's just that they have not had a reason to come out and vote because they have not had candidates to vote for. And now that we're out there and about, we expect to see more Democrats come out to vote.
Okay. Your background is in banking and finance. How does that shape your candidacy?
Well, my background is in, I had a 10-year career in banking and finance and a 10-year career in nonprofit consulting. So I worked a lot with nonprofit organizations, and I've always did service with nonprofit organizations. I've been a community activist since I was in high school. So I think that I take an economic view of the world, but I also take a social service view of the world, and one has a lot to do with the other, and that shapes my candidacy in that I do look at everything from an economic point of view, all the way from education to social service, but I don't have a zero-sum game view of things as a lot of people have. I always feel there's always enough of everything to go around, and it's just a matter of balancing things. I take the education and tax bill, for example. I think we can have property taxes cut and still have good education reform. I think we can have clean air and have enough energy. I think we can have good business and good jobs at living wages. I think we can have it all. I think it's a matter of good management and good financial management. I think that we can keep taxes low and still manage the state budget.
Talking about taxes, the new business tax has generated some complaints in the business community because a lot of business is now being taxed for the first time. There's some complaints that it has shifted the burden unfairly towards smaller business and away from larger corporations. What's your opinion on that?
Well, the new business tax was put on the smallest businesses as opposed to an emphasis on collecting taxes that are unpaid from some of the largest businesses to supplement the property tax cut as part of the school finance bill that was passed in the fourth legislative session. I like to look at the whole issue that... The whole thing that they did with the school finance was really a three-year disaster. They had 3 years to look at school finance, and they waited until the 11th hour before they finally came to a solution. And what they did is they probably picked the worst possible solution that was ever put on the table in the entire 3 years that they had to look at it. And then they took a rush to judgment. And picked probably the worst solution that they could have. I didn't think it was possible for them to take a bad situation and make it worse, but indeed they did. They totally tabled any type of school reform. As a matter of fact, any time during that session, any legislator brought up any type of actual school reform. It was tabled, and they were told they were only allowed to talk about tax finance, school finance. To the session, actually became a discussion of cutting taxes, and the business bill was passed as a way to supplement basically a tax cut. So instead of it becoming a education finance bill, it became a tax reform bill. So education never really got addressed. And I can talk a little bit more about that, but as far as your answer about the business tax, what they did is they taxed small businesses. They taxed them on gross receipts. Now, the only kind of tax you see on gross receipts now, or previous to this, was sales tax. If you think about it, the only tax you have on gross receipts is sales tax. Basically, what they did is they created a sales tax that's payable by businesses, which means that so now you have an 8.5% sales tax that's payable by customers and a 1% sales tax that's payable by businesses. Well, guess what? That 1% sales tax that's payable by businesses is going to be passed on to the customers. So basically, we now have a 9.5% sales tax, because any tax on gross receipts is going to be passed on to the consumer. So the tax cut, the property tax cut, is actually turned into a tax increase. The property tax cut that is heralded by the administration as probably their best piece of legislature in the in this session, Paul Bentecourt, the Harris County Tax Commissioner, says amounts to $23 for the average property tax owner this year, and $291. For next year, and this particular bill only goes to 2009. So to me, the entire bill is a failure.
What would you do? What do you think needs to be done to make up for it going forward?
Well, first of all, I believe there's enough money in the budget right now to take care of education reform. We are 40 or 43rd in the state in education. Good education makes good economy. Economy is the key to everything. As you noted, I have a financial and accounting background. An economy to me is the key of everything. Good education makes good economy. Educated workers make good product. Good product makes good gross national product, makes good domestic product. It makes good economic sense. It makes good tax sense. The more we are able to produce, the more revenue we produce. We need an educated workforce so that the employers in Texas can use our children as employees without having to bring people in from other states to work for their companies. We need to have our children be able to get into college and get advanced degrees. So we really need to reform our education system. Right now, the state budget probably has enough money in it to do that tax reform, but there's the budget itself, the finances itself, are in such a mess. Now, I am a governmental accountant. I'm not a CPA, but I have 10 years experience in nonprofit and financial accounting. When I look at the budget, I see plenty of room there for things to change and things to be improved. And I think we need to start the state budget at zero-based budgeting. And I think we'll find enough money right there to do plenty of education reform. I don't believe that we should be charging any new taxes to anyone, business, people, anyone, until we can account for every penny that's being spent by the state now. The amount of the budget, the state budget, has increased enormously over the past 4 years. The money's not being accounted for in a way that makes sense. We've just had, we've just been revealed that the Texas Wildlife Refuge money that's designated to go into that fund is not being spent on that money. We've recently been revealed that the money that's been allocated for electricity for elderly in the hotter months is not being used for that. I mean, there's a lot of that stuff that's going on in the budget, and we need to make that stop, and we need to know that our tax dollars are being spent for the purpose that they are meant to be spent for.
Okay. Let's talk about an issue that's local to your district, which is the expansion of the Grand Parkway through Spring towards I-45. It's generated a lot of heated discussion in Spring. Where do you stand on this, and what, if anything, do you believe the state legislature can do to address the concerns of the residents in Spring?
Well, I think first of all, the people need to understand that the Grand Parkway is part of the Unified Mobility Program, which has already been passed by the Texas Legislature. Any highway that is qualified under the Unified Mobility Program has already been approved by the Texas Legislature. That is something that's already been passed. My opponent, even though she opposes the quote-unquote alignment of the parkway, has voted for it in essence by voting for that bill. We've basically given the Texas Department of Transportation a blank check. You know, I personally don't trust the state with that amount of money at this point. The problem is the way the system is set up. Every dollar that the Texas Department of Transportation spends on maintaining roads, they are matched another dollar by federal money. Every dollar that the Texas Department of Transportation spends on new highways, they are matched $4 by the federal government. Therefore, the Texas Department of Transportation is more motivated to build new roads than they are to maintain old roads. Okay, which is why they push for things like the Grand Parkway, regardless of the types of opposition they might receive from the community. One of the problems with the Grand Parkway is that the parts of the community are against it and parts of the community are for it, and nobody receives any feedback from the people who are designing the Grand Parkway as to their questions as to what's going on. Am I for it? Am I against it? I am for whatever my constituents want at this point, which seems to be against it. The most vocal people are against it. There doesn't seem to be a need for it. I went down and visited the Grand Parkway section that is built in the southern part of the of Houston, and there are barely any people using it, which makes me understand a great deal why my constituents are so much against it. They don't want their lives disrupted for a road that no one's going to use. So at this point, I very much understand my constituents not wanting it. I do understand that, you know, 20 years out, it's something that we may need, and that's where the Texas Department of Transportation. I am not convinced that the motivation, however, of the state is pure in this matter.
Okay. Your opponent is famous in some sense for remarking that the notion of public education comes from the pits of hell.
That's right. I have this quote right here. I don't leave home without it. Where did this idea come from that everyone deserves free education? It comes from Moscow, from Russia. It comes straight out of the pit of hell.
Yes. As you talk to people in the district, I assume this quote comes up from time to time. What is your impression of what people in the 150th district want out of public education?
The most appalling thing that I have found when I've been block walking is that people are doing homeschooling, not because, I'm not against homeschooling, don't get me wrong, but they're doing homeschooling not for religious purposes, but because they find public school is so bad. They've taken their kids out of public school because the schools are not good enough. They've taken their kids out of public school because they're Latino, and they find that they're feeling that the teachers are bigoted, or they're feeling that their kids are in a white school and are being treated badly. That is just unacceptable. Again, it all comes down to education reform. I think that My opponent, along with many other people like her, would just as soon see public education go away. She introduced a voucher bill that would take another $100 million out of public education over the next 5 years. I think when people talk about vouchers, it's a nice idea, you know, getting $5,500 a year for homeschooling your child or for sending your child to a private school. But the impact that that has on the public education system, you know, people don't realize. Another $100 million over 5 years is another chunk of change. If we keep taking this money out of schools, and again HB1, which was passed in the fourth session of the legislature last year, also allowed for any underperforming schools to be turned into charter schools. If we keep taking money out of the public school system, we keep taking our kids out of the public school system, eventually the public school system is going to go away. And that is just not the way the United States was made. Public school and public schooling is a deserving right of every child in this country. The idea that everyone deserves a free education came from the United States, it belongs here. We need to stop taking our kids and our money out of the schools.
Okay. Education obviously being an issue that drives you on in this campaign. What besides education would you make as a priority in your first term, if you were elected in November?
I think one of the mistakes that my opponent makes is that, you know, the legislature is supposed to meet 6 months out of every 2 years, and there's so much more work that can be done right within the district. I look around my district and I see we did a survey. Over about a half mile, 1960 runs through my district. We went down about a half mile of 1960 and we found 45 retail spaces with four lease signs on it. There's a great deal of economic recovery and economic building that could be done in that area. The unemployment rate, the real unemployment rate in that area, we calculated to be about 18%, as opposed to the 4.6%, which is the unemployment rate that people talk about. With the location right outside of Houston proper, and the unemployment rate the way it is, we think we can start programs for small business development and job training to put those two things together and optimize the location and do some real economic development in that area. And that's one thing. So we think there's work that can be done there. We need to do a better job with integrating the changing community. We need to do some anti-racism work in the schools. It's a rapidly changing community. We have a lot of Katrina relocatees. That's a new word, right? Relocatees.
I say evacuees, but that works for me.
In the community, and the population in the schools has gone from 60% non-white to 75% non-white in 3 years, and we really need to do some education on how to live together peacefully. We just had a hate crime there less than a year ago, and the community is doing its best to ignore it, but it really needs to be addressed, along with, you know, the police and how they react to it. Things are just not happening in the community. There's a large part of the district that's in ETJ of Houston that's unincorporated, and we need to be doing some work there as to how to operate as a community when it has no government of its own. Basically, Houston has a say over any new housing developments, any new business developments, basically anything that happens there. Spring doesn't really have its own jurisdiction over what happens there, and we need to find a way to control its expansion and its building. We need to learn how to work with Houston on that so we have some control over our own environment. There's so much work that can be done outside of the legislature. It's just not happening. And in absence of a government there, I think it's up to the state legislator to step in. I think that, we need to be doing more. There needs to be more work done. There needs to be someone more proactive as far as the environment. There's some wetlands up in Spring. We need to be doing some work to try to conserve some of that space. There's tons of work to be done, Charles.
Clearly there is. Is there anything else you would like to talk about?
Let's see what we get. That covers everything.
All right. Well, Dot Nelson Turnier, thank you very much for talking to me. Good luck in your campaign.
You.